Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Time for KER Politics. Been a great week to put together a show. Why is Big Al saying that? Well, Big Al is saying that is because it has been a very, very eventful week. What with the town hall that CNN covered at the beginning of the week, coupled with the town hall that they apparently did with Sleepy Joe, it really, Trump's performance, I have to think, made him look very, very good from what I have read in the press. When they covered Sleepy Joe's town hall, apparently he was not very good. Jim, you want to start out wrapping up about the town halls? I think there were two very important events leading up to the election on the 24th.
Right. So CNN actually went out of their way to try to actually reach out to conservative voters. They held the town hall in New Hampshire as Trump is the leading Republican primary candidate. And in that conversation, Caitlin Collins, who was supposed to be moderating, she wasn't really moderating. She was more like debating Donald Trump and trying to fact check him as she went along. She spent a lot of time on the January 6th events and the 2020 election. In fact, the first 22 minutes. And she appeared to be very aggressive and almost vindictive with a very prepared set of Democratic talking points. So that was a little bit negative, and it made Trump look much more balanced, and his ability to respond to her questions and the audience questions probably gave him a significant advantage for the primary. I think it gave him a very good head start. At the same time, CNN was able to triple their ratings from the 8 o'clock hour that they had really lost to Fox over the last, you know, couple of years because Tucker Carlson's position, but of course Fox fired Tucker Carlson. So CNN played a smart business move. They increased about over 3 million viewers in that time slot, which is unusual, especially for CNN viewers. But I think overall they're being hammered by the left, by Democrats, because they allowed Trump on. And I think that's because Trump did look pretty good.
Trump didn't look pretty good. Trump looked very good, in my opinion. I want to give CNN a compliment also, and that is some of the big shots at CNN came in as kind of, pre-events to the town hall. Wolf Blitzer sticks out in my mind. I don't know very much about Mr. Blitzer other than he did say nothing negative whatsoever about Trump. And I have to say that his body language, and I was very, very cognizant of what was going on when he was talking. His body language, Jimmy, and his tone of voice, everything, in my opinion, really reflected respect on his part for what he called the leading Republican candidate. I give him and CNN credit for doing that.
Well, I give Chris Licht, the chairman, I give him credit for actually taking the risk with his own constituency to go ahead and do this. Where I don't give CNN credit was actually Caitlin Collins. Now, she's been rewarded.
I agree.
She's been given the 8 o'clock hour at NewsHour. That was what Chris Cuomo's former, his show. So she was rewarded for her performance, but I do not think that it actually helped her, nor in the long run do I think it helped CNN, because I think they really did alienate their constituency, and a lot of people are becoming very frustrated with mainstream media. And I can tell you why. After town hall, which was really a debate between Trump and Caitlin Collins, the panel in CNN's their control room to discuss the town hall, Anderson Cooper, a number of the Democrat or the more left progressive ideologues there really hammered Trump and kept saying that he lied. In fact, I think he made a comment there were so many lies that they didn't even have time to talk about them. Byron Donaldson, who's actually a Republican congressman, a black gentleman, he was actually in that group, and he gave a tremendous amount of credit to Trump, and actually stood very firm, very effectively countered many of their arguments. So in the end, I don't think CNN did anything other than help Trump, which, okay, for the average voter, that's a good thing to actually see him in a different light than the media has portrayed him. But for CNN, I think they may have actually stepped on a little bit with their own audience. And it's very interesting, kind of like Fox did with firing Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
They are losing ground rapidly because people just don't trust the corporate media anymore.
Well, they don't. I spent an awful lot of time watching all the news, but I'm very cognizant of where that news is emanating from. And I wanted to ask you and maybe get the opinion of some of our bloggers. I happen to, in terms of, I guess, what we all would call the phony media, for lack of better terms, I guess that's what Donald Trump calls them, but I would have to say...
Yeah, the fake news.
Fake news. I would have to say that Lester Holt seems to be pretty middle of the road and pretty accurate. I make it a point to watch him every day. And I think if we get more people out there like Lester Holt, I think that'll be good for the country, quite frankly. What I have to wonder here, Jimmy, is... I really, for the life of me, I know quite a bit about politics. I know quite a bit about, let me say, I've got some pretty good ideas as to the ins and outs of political campaigns. I'm not really sure what the Democrats can do to save their bacon at this point in time.
Well, I want to go back to your comment about Lester Holt and actually corporate media in general. You know, Lester Holt, he's got a good reputation, and he appears to be a good reporter. And when he speaks, he's eloquent and he does talk about issues. However, it's not what they say, Al. It's not what the media says. It's what they don't say, what they don't report on. And I will tell you, the mainstream media and, of course, the tech companies that control the platforms that much of the information is spread on, what they don't talk about is actually the weaknesses of Biden himself, his cognitive abilities, his mistakes, his gaffes on a daily basis, the ineffectiveness of his administration. They don't talk about those things, and they do shape the message very much in favor of Democrats and progressive ideology.
Okay.
And that's the problem right now. And you're right. Your point is a good one. How can the Democrats make it with Joe Biden as president based on performance and so many negative performance in so many ways? The reason why is because what they don't say, what the media will not talk to you about.
All right. All right, I mean, I'll buy that, but I still don't think there's any reason in the world, any plausible reason in the world that other than maybe hanky panky that maybe Biden can win in 2024. I just don't see it. I watch him very closely on every time he's on the news, whether it's CNN, whether it's Fox. I want to get a balanced opinion, so I watch them all. He does not look good. And I think whoever is pushing him to try and regain the presidency after 24 is doing the man a major, major disservice. The longer they let him go, in my opinion, the longer history is not going to be able to show him as a winner in the political circles. Jimmy, wrap it up. We got 30 seconds.
Yeah, so I agree with you, and I think we got to roll into the next segment, talk a little bit about why, you know, what the impacts are, why they're trying to protect him, and what the Democratic Party will likely do, because I think it's really important to understand why the politics are the way they are in order to make good decisions in the future.
You bet. That'll cut it. We'll be right back, you guys.
Thank you.
your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
You know, we're going to continue our discussion here in the first half of KER Politics. We're going to talk about the town halls that took place last week. We're going to talk about what we feel are unbiased opinions of the President of the United States. I'm not belittling the guy. I want to say I think that he has been snookered into getting in way over his head at this point in his life. Jimmy, comments?
Yeah, I think he has, like, his ego is probably as big as Donald Trump, just his persona does not push it the same way.
Yeah.
I do think, and I've said this from the beginning, I think that Jill Biden is a big player in this, but I also think the Democratic machine, certainly after Jim Clyburn got him through South Carolina in 2020 in the primaries there out ahead, I think that machine said, hey, look, we've got to control, we've got to keep the black vote. We've got to maintain our position of power. We've got to get Trump out in order to protect kind of the enterprise that's going on behind the scenes, the deep state, if you will, to protect so many illegal activities that the government was performing on American citizens as well as political candidates.
Yeah.
And the President of the United States even. So I think that was a really important message, Al. And I think there are other reasons why the Democrats look at Joe Biden as the guy that should lead. But I think ultimately the people around him are doing it for their own interests and for their own power.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, you've got to convince me. And I think that statement you just made is very convincing. One thing about human nature is basically people do everything for their own benefit, particularly in politics. And I have to say that I think it's going on with the Democrats right now. I really have a bad taste in my mouth, not necessarily for what some of the Democrats, some of the policies they're pushing through, but I have a really bad taste in my mouth, Jim, for the way that they are pushing some of the things through. Nancy Pelosi is has been very, very effective throughout her career in pushing issues through that you and I disagreed with. But you know what? You gotta agree that she gets that particular job done. Nobody disagrees with her more than myself and my friends, but damn it, she gets the job done.
Well, that's the unfortunate reality.
Yeah,
the amount of power and money. Yeah, and influence. And that's one of the big reasons why the Democrats want to stick with Joe Biden through this next year's race. Because the incumbency itself is a huge advantage, right?
Yeah.
But there's a couple other things behind the scenes that are happening. And of course, we've talked about it before. Joe Biden is really not making any decisions. All his handlers are providing him information. They're telling him when to sign, what to do. And he's openly admitted it. He doesn't even know what he's doing on a daily basis.
No, wait a minute. Repeat what you just said. I didn't catch that.
He has openly admitted that he doesn't even know what he's doing. People give him tough stuff and tell him what to do.
Okay.
And that's evident by the documents that he's been given and things, policies that are actually inconsistent with his past position in the Senate from years ago. But when he holds up an actual chart with the actual name and picture of a journalist with a draft of the first question and then the responses to it, that shows you that it's being so contrived. You know, Donald Trump would just stop on a dime walking back from Marine Corps One from the helicopter at White House grounds and talk to press. He would get up on stage and talk for an hour without any preparation and would continue to, you know, he would offend people, but at the same time, he was doing that because he knew what was going on. What's happening behind the scenes right now is the incumbency and then the power of those people that want to maintain power are influencing Joe Biden. Joe Biden is basically a puppet at this point. That's a pretty scary thought because of the situations that we're in and, of course, the impact of what's going on right now around the world and domestically in the United States. We need to have somebody that actually is cognizant and understands what to do to make these decisions. That's a big problem because DC has become an entity in itself, the fourth estate, if you will, another government. It's not the just the executive branch. There are people behind the scenes actually connected with judiciary, with the legislative branch, all powers that actually support the centralized view of Washington to protect their interest more than the American people. That's the big disconnect in America right now.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think anybody who studies politics as much as we do and as much as the average listener to this program does, which I can tell you is significant, we get opinions from the bloggers on our particular show that are absolutely genius when it comes to political issues. I have to say, I think you're right. I cannot dispute what you're saying, Jim. And I can't dispute with what the majority of our audience is saying right now.
I also want to go a little bit further on this because the powers aren't just within Washington. They're also the corporate powers. They're also the globalist powers. And then there's the leftist ideologues.
Yep.
Some of them are very wealthy and they control the information and the message.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the media apparatus from corporate media are the tools right now to shape people's opinion in conjunction with the tech industry. And the tech industry, the major leftists and ideologues from the tech industry really have an influence over what people see and what they do. So again, as we talked about in the last segment, it's not just what they say, but it's what they don't say. It's what they don't allow people to talk about. What they don't see on their Twitter feed or their Facebook feed, that information is being silenced. And unfortunately, it's going to have a very deleterious or a detrimental effect to the United States and to our election system. And the last thing I wanted to say about this whole process is they believe, the left believes, the Democratic Party believe that they can control the system the way they did in 2022 in order to get Joe Biden elected. And they do it through many, many means, influence, money, tech, all this, in order to protect their own interests. And it's a dangerous, dangerous potential problem for the average American.
You know, Jamie, we've got to cut here in about a minute, but I want to say, I want to elaborate on the subject you just brought up. I think it's very important that, number one, let me say, you're very cognizant about how some of the news is really getting to be slanted in a, what I would call, untruthful direction. I want to talk in the next segment just briefly about how that's going on, and you know how it's going on because you have been involved in serious, serious elections on the ground floor. You were the campaign chairman for Donald Trump during the last election. Didn't turn out probably the way you wanted it to.
In a small area, not for the whole country.
That's right. That's right. But the point here is, and I got to cut this as soon as I can. The point, Jimmy, purely and simply, is you are very cognizant how fake news comes out. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back, everybody. We are going to talk about a number of things, certainly in the political sector in the second half of this show. The first thing that we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about how the House announced earlier in the week that they were going to examine the Biden family, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about the way that the press handled that particular story. We thought here at KAR that was a very, very important story, and it was not even mentioned hardly at all in the press the following day. This is pretty typical of what's going on. Jimmy has experienced it firsthand, and he's going to tell you about his trials and tribulations in that area right now. Jimmy, you're on.
Yeah, well, I can certainly talk about in our county, you know, as we ended the last segment talking about me running the Trump campaign in 2020 in Whatcom County, Washington, that was a, you know, we had massive groups of people come out. We had massive rallies. And this was in the midst of COVID. We could not get any reporting on it from anywhere. So it was really being stifled by Washington State. And of course, you know, we weren't really at a national level, but local media would ignore it or attack people and start making accusations of, you know, you're fascists and things like that. And it was very, actually, people were very aggressive in near Bellingham, Washington. So from that experience, and of course, looking at what's happening in my career as an intelligence analyst and a intelligence officer and a foreign area officer, you're watching one of the most contrived and controlled media environments in the history of the United States. There is no question right now that they are shaping information in order to avoid, to protect one political party and avoid the problems that that political party is facing at the detriment of the nation. And unfortunately, it's beginning to really do damage because of the policies that are in place and the lack of media scrutiny or oversight, which in the past has actually shaped government to do the right thing rather than encouraging it to do the wrong thing.
Well, this has been going on, unfortunately, for as long as we've been doing this program. I would have to say that in a political sense, that covers a pretty solid 20 years of history in America, and that makes me kind of sad. Jimmy, give us some personal experiences, if you would, about what happened in Whatcom County during well, your career there.
Look, I don't want to spend a lot of time doing that
right.
because really that it's, you know, it's too personal, but with different individuals. But let me tell you one example, right? I'll just do one. So in the middle of the BLM riots and Antifa riots, when they were actually burning Seattle down, when the CHOP and the CHAZ actually existed, the groups that were doing that were expanding and they were moving up the state to Bellingham and creating problems and protests. A number of the cities around those areas that are a little more careful and concerned about their businesses and the safety of the people, actually people got together and started going out and standing up with weapons and saying, stay away from our businesses, don't burn down our buildings, you will not allow this to happen. And that happened in Linden, Washington, one of our areas there in Whatcom County. NPR did a story on the people in Linden, and they actually interviewed me in that story about why they were doing it. As I tried to explain, look, people were afraid for their businesses, for their families, and their life, because we're seeing hundreds, if not thousands, of attacks on individuals and buildings and businesses around the country. This is in the summer of 2020, prior to the election. And when they did this story, it was actually shaped more to the defense of the protesters than it was for the people that were standing up to avoid the violence.
Yeah.
And we've seen that over and over and over again around the country. But what I really like to talk about is some of the, in the national level, some of the unbelievable statements that are coming out right now. And let me talk a little bit more. What we talked about earlier was this, was the debate, or not the debate, I'm sorry, the town hall in New Hampshire with Donald Trump and Caitlin Collins. CNN is getting hammered from it, from its own constituents, right? From those, from the people that kind of follow it in the left, aggressive, very aggressive, progressive, intellectuals, if you will, the intellectual class. They're calling them out. They're saying, all the media is saying, how did you give Donald Trump a platform? And Anderson Cooper actually came out and said to his audience the next night that if last night showed anything, it showed Trump winning, parentheses, co-winning, can happen again. It's happening again. He hasn't changed and he's running hard. You have every right to be outraged and angry today. Be outraged today and angry and never watch this network again. He was saying that because he was embarrassed about giving Donald Trump, the Republican primary candidate, the number one leader and former president of the United States, a platform for Americans to watch him. They are embarrassed because they gave him a platform. What that means is that tech companies and leftist media are willing to do anything to silence other people's views, and they're ignoring half the nation. half the nation. And even Anderson Cooper admits this. So what we're seeing is an unbelievable effort to censor and silence using whatever tools are necessary, intimidation, threats, even violence in many cases, to keep people's opinions to themselves and not allow them to stand up for the questions that they want answered and to take back their country from an elite that thinks that they control our direction and what where our country should go. And as we look at everything right now, with the border, with the economy, with the foreign policy issues, with the crime, the violence, the sexual, you know, deviance that's being pushed by schools, by communities, you've got to wonder what's the long-term objective. And I think it's actually Marxist separation of American public in order to destroy us. And that's what I see many of these corporate entities attempting to support, as well as the politicians and these media entities.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. I think that's about as obvious as the nose on my face. But what I want to say is that I find it amazing that a couple of chapters in a book called The History of the United States is going to be taught to grade school kids, you know, down the road, is going to, in my opinion, outline a very, very sad part in the history of the United States. And it basically is a great example of not allowing free speech.
And what is that? What was this bit? You mean talking about slavery or what?
No, I'm talking about the...
Oh, I see. I understand what you're saying now.
There you go.
The history of today of, trying to silencing speech.
Right.
It will be a terrible chapter in the future of history.
Yeah.
Like we talked about yellow journalism back at the turn of the last century and how the corporate entities controlled and got us into wars. And we're still seeing a continuation of that. There's no question we're seeing it.
Yeah.
And the reality is you give anybody, any small group, too much power, they're going to want to maintain that power. And, you know, as power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And right now we're seeing that on a really, really major basis.
Oh, yeah.
Around the station, certainly with the media industry.
I don't think there's any question about that, Jimmy. I think you're 100% right. I think it is a sad chapter in the history of our country.
But go ahead.
I want to emphasize one thing. I make a lot of disparaging remarks sometimes that I think are warranted, but I want to say that my parents were Russian immigrants. What I learned from them is the importance of freedom. Nobody loves America more than Al Corlin.
I would like to really protect this nation.
We're going to take a break, you guys. Time for a real quick commercial. We're going to be right back with a wrap of what we have talked about today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I really do. Are going to wrap up KER Politics today, not with a summary of the show that you just listened to, and we thank you very much for that. We're going to wrap it up by talking about a very, very significant event that occurred earlier in the week, and that is the result of the House Oversight Committee that was put together, obviously, by the Speaker of the House and the rest of the members. The results of that particular committee meeting were, in my opinion, staggering. I think they were probably true, but they were staggering. If you would like to watch a video of a summary of that particular event, simply go to our website and you will see it there. Jimmy, let's talk about that.
So, James Comer, the chair of the House Oversight Committee, and his committee stepped out, did a press conference earlier this week on Wednesday in order to outline the information that they had collected and gathered on the Biden family finances. Some of the information here outlined massive payments to up to 9 members of the Biden family from foreign entities. And some of these entities are actually very, very disturbing. Chinese intelligence senior people, senior Communist Party members, as well as people connected to the Chinese Communist Party. A Romanian who was under investigation for corruption that paid into Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's organization about $3 million. And then I guess it was actually Hunter's business, and then distributed 1 million of that into to family members. And this information came from documented evidence from Department of Treasury and subpoenas to banks where these businesses were operating. So they did not provide any speculation, which is what has happened with the Democrats leading many of these committees in the past. They provided factual evidence of a very corrupt influence scheme with over 16 companies while Joe Biden was actually vice president that Hunter Biden and his partner Rob Walker had developed in order to, it looks like, to actually shift and hide money, basically to launder it. And that those companies have now increased to 20. So they're concealing money. They're taking money from foreign entities, including some of our, you know, biggest competitors and criminal actors, and giving it to family members. And of course, Joe Biden says he has no idea of any of his son's businesses, even though he flew Hunter on Air Force Two to some of these meetings. And some of this information was tied directly to foreign engagements with Joe Biden. This is damning information, yet we're not seeing anything in the mainstream media.
You know, it's obvious why we're not seeing anything in the mainstream media. Even some of the secondary conservative sites like ours, we're getting a lot of traffic from people, from our own listeners, but we are certainly not generating any new listeners, and that is a shame.
Well, yeah, I think it's difficult. There's a lot of different, you know, information out there, different, you know, different flows, and
yeah,
we've got to actually do some things probably to reach out into the tech and the social media world in order to get there. One of the places to go is actually Twitter, because as Elon Musk has taken over, they've done a phenomenal job in trying to clean up the censorship and the government influence on Twitter. They fired a whole host of people. He's being attacked by the left, and of course by some people even on the right, saying, "Well, you know, you're infusing politics with business." But the reality is, he's just taking the politics away from the business. He did announce, Elon Musk just announced that he has hired or is hiring Linda Yaccarino, who was an NBC Comcast or NBC Universal and Comcast advertising executive, one of the, I think, the president of the advertising aspect of NBC Universal, as the new Twitter chairman. And he's bowing down from his position there. And this will, of course, be an interesting opportunity for Twitter. Hopefully this woman is going to continue to keep the censorship to nil and only, you know, begin to create more advertising opportunity. But here is an opportunity for platforms like this to reach out as they reshape Twitter to be one of the premier media outlets in the nation. And this is certainly going to have an impact, as Tucker Carlson announced that he is working a partnership with Twitter to go ahead and begin doing his shows after he sues Fox and gets off that contract with that network.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, that contract also is not that lengthy. Am I correct in that?
Well, no, he was still had a couple more years left on it at $20 million a year.
I thought it was sooner than that. Okay.
No, I think 2025 or 2026. He had some more obligations to it. However, they pulled him off the air. He's hired a very effective lawyer. My guess is that within weeks, Tucker Carlson will be back on a Twitter platform and reaching literally tens of millions of people, more than he did on Fox, because his average nightly show was seen by about 3.5 million people. But with his announcement that he was moving to Twitter, it had over 100 million views in one day.
That's a lot of cowboys going to be watching that show.
I'm telling you. And so here's an opportunity, again, for an outlet that will maybe very rapidly overtake legacy mainstream media, corporate globalist media. If this woman continues to follow the same patterns and is a more conservative voice, or at least protects conservative voices.
Yeah.
My understanding from the latest reports, and of course this was just announced today, that she actually follows Jack Posobiec and the libs of TikTok. And that would be indicators of somebody that's a little more to the conservative side,
yeah,
or at least a free speech side than others.
Well, maybe the pendulum. I mean, I'm sitting here in my studio looking at a picture of the studio dog that was miraculously taken. I'm sitting here just hoping that the pendulum has swung a little bit farther to the right. And I'm hoping that as that happens to a greater extent, the right is going to handle that new power very, very effectively.
You know, it's hard to judge.
Yeah,
right now, you Fox News itself, you know, is fighting amongst its own constituents.
Yeah.
CNN's fighting with its own constituents. I think those are indicators of a changing population. Now the question is, how do you get the young people that are on social media that spend, you know, most of their time grabbing information off of Instagram, or they don't even look at Facebook anymore, or Snapchat, or what they hear, the rumors, how quickly they spin.
Yeah.
How do you capture that and bring people in to help them understand their future depends on free speech? Their future depends on good judgment in America, on making decisions that protect our sovereignty and our border. This is a tough fight right now we're in, Al, and it's unbelievable how much power the corporate entities and the deep state in Washington has amassed over the years.
Yeah. I don't disagree, Jimmy. I don't disagree at all. But I think it's time for clear thinking to be the word of the day, Jim. I really do, because I think that we have found over the last few years that faulty thinking does nothing whatsoever other than occasionally give a certain segment of the population power, but it does nothing whatsoever for the United States of America, the most important, I'm not going to say powerful, but I'm going to say the most important country in the world today.
Very briefly, Al. One of the most important things that my father taught me, and you know, he was good and bad like all of us are human beings, but one of the most important things he taught me was consistency. Be consistent with your thoughts, your beliefs, your ideas, ideologies. Have them based in moral background. And if you're consistent, you'll see things in a little different light than being pulled one way to the other from every different headline. And that's what we've got to get away from.
Absolutely, Jim. Words of wisdom from your dad. You guys, hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.